We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, God's Plan for Marriage, A Vow to Oneness, from the series Family Fortified, and shows you what Genesis 2 reveals about the foundation of unity and purpose in marriage as a reflection of His glory. Now, here's today's program.
Last week we began our Families Fortified series, and we started in Genesis chapter 1, and we started with how God created us, how God made the world in six literal days, and on day six, how He created humankind, and we talked about how God created humankind in His image. Really important, because we bear the image of God. And then we talked about how He created us either male or female and how our gender derives our purpose in this world. And then we talked about how our mission was to create and establish families. And then we talked about how God gives us the resources to do all of that. And that's where we begun as an overarching view of this family series. Well, what we want to do today is come back and talk about what happens when you get married. What is going on there, and how do we fight for what God has created? I want to let you know in this message, if you're single, if you're married, if you've been divorced, if you're widowed, if you have any desire to be in a marriage, whether your marriage is sizzling, you say it can't get any better, or whether your marriage is in the tank and you say, I don't even know if this is going to work out, I believe God has a word for you today. If I were single, if I'd have been 12 years old, 20 years old, I wish I would have heard this message before I got married, because I want to highlight five truths about marriage today, because when you get married, you make a vow to oneness. So I want to invite you to open your Bible up to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 24 and 25. Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, and we'll use that as our text as we launch today's message. Now, here's what's going on in Genesis chapter 2. By the time we get down to that chapter, we see what went on day 6, that God created the man first, placed him in the garden to work. We talked about a man's role was to provide and protect. And then He said this, it isn't good for man to be alone. That means this, men, you need help. You're better with someone than you are by yourself. After everything God said, He created, He said, that's good, that's good, that's good. Let me tell you something that's not good. It's not good for you to be by yourself. So He created a companion from His rib, not from His head to be His boss, not from His foot so He could step on her, but from His rib so they could be united as one. And when He sees Eve, He says, it's now flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. She should be called woman. And notice what the verse says in Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 through 25. It says, for this reason. Well, what reason? For the reason that God created humankind in His image. For the reason that He created them male and female. For the reason that God wanted to establish family as the foundation for how He was going to propagate His glory throughout the planet. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Now, if I were doing premarital counseling with you, if I was doing a tune-up in your marriage, if your marriage was on the tank, this is the verse that we would go to. You get this verse right, you get everything right. You get this verse wrong, you get everything wrong. And what God wants you to know is that when you make vows before Him. And here's what happens when you make a vow and a pastor officiates a wedding and declares that you are husband and wife. What happens prior to that time is you live as singles. They're two individuals. The bride walks down the aisle to the groom. They're two individuals. And the biggest lie for singles is, although you're individuals, you should try to live as one. You should share a phone bill. You should share a bedroom. You should share a house. You guys can get away with it. Pretend that you're one, even though you're not one. That's Satan's biggest lie. And it'll be okay, and it's not okay. But what happens when you say your I do's is God makes you one. You are one. God sees you as one entity. He doesn't see you as two people that are doing things together, that are committed to each other. You became one. You are one flesh. And guess what the lie is once you say your I do's? To try to live as individuals. And if you don't see that, you won't thrive in your marriage, because what you don't understand is what challenges will come. You don't know if there's going to be a health challenge. That's why you say for in sickness and in health. You don't know if your life's going to go well or not well. That's why you say for better or for worse. You don't know what kind of finances you're going to have. That's why you say for richer or poorer. You don't know what kind of kids you're going to have. You don't know what kind of challenges you're going to have. But if you fight for oneness instead of fighting the challenges, you can get through anything by God's grace. If you fight as two individuals about the situation, you can end up ripping and severing this. And if God is for marriage, which he is, and God is for you in your marriage, which he is, what the devil wants to do is usurp that and break that. That's why he goes after Adam and Eve once God establishes their marriage. That's when he shows up in the story to pull them apart, to break them up, to come into the center. If you're married, you're one. When you say your I do, you're as one as you'll ever be one. Now, the question is, why are you one? Because God wants to use your marriage as the Imago Dei, which is Latin for the image of God, to represent his glory on the planet, not just as two individuals, but as one entity. So the question becomes, what are the things that you must do to show and bear the image of God as a couple? And I want to highlight five truths. Singles, you can work on most all of these five truths even before you get married. Most all of it. We'll tell you where you can. Married people, you have opportunities for all five of these every single day. The better you are at these five, the more your marriage will thrive. The worse you are at these five, the more challenging your marriage will become. And I want to tell you something else before we get started. I'm talking to you as a practitioner and not a professional. I'm talking to you as your pastor. I've failed in all five. I'm growing in all five. I haven't arrived in any of the five yet. So if you hear me tell a story, I'm going to try to tell a story of how I'm still working on it, not how I've mastered it, because I've not mastered any of this. And we won't master it until we get to heaven, but we can get better at all of it. So I want you to pay attention today, and I want you to hear what the Lord has to say. And when we talk about God's plan for marriage, we're talking about a vow to oneness. God no longer sees you as two if you're married, but he sees you as one. If you're single, he sees you as an individual, so stay an individual. But if you choose to get married, you're making a vow to be one with somebody else. That's why it's important that you choose somebody that loves the Lord and values you. Amen? So let me give you the first one here today. If you want to have a vow to oneness, the first one that you're going to need to keep oneness alive and to grow in oneness is you're going to have a regular opportunity for listening. A regular opportunity for listening. That's how you value one another. When you listen to one another, you value one another. That's why James 1:19 says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Sometimes I feel like that verse was given directly to me, right? Or how about in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. In a marriage, you'll have an opportunity to listen. Now, there's a difference, and I want to highlight some of them, and you'll understand what this is between hearing and listening. Hearing goes like this. It means I heard your words, but I may not value the one who is sharing them or what they are saying. I heard what you said. I heard those words. Hearing is, I am now ready to respond and combat what is being said. I've been posturing myself while you've been talking, and now I'm ready to tell you what I think. Hearing is, I am considering my own opinions and how to interject them at just the right time while you are talking. Hearing means I'm ready to re-enter the conversation with statements rather than with questions. Hearing means I am simply buying the time until I can persuade you that I am right and that you are wrong. And when you are being heard, here's how you're going to feel. You will not feel free to share your deepest thoughts and convictions because you'll know you're not valued. You ever been heard by somebody? It could be somebody at the store. It could be your spouse. It could be a friend. It could be a child. They heard what you said, but they're not valuing what you said. They're not valuing you. They're not looking to ask more about it. They're not doing it. They heard it, but they're moving on from it. Or they're saying you're wrong to think that. You're wrong to have that feeling or opinion. Listening's different. Listening means this. I value what you are saying because I value you. I care about you. So if you're going to speak it, I'm going to listen. Listening means I'm humble enough to learn from what you are saying. You know what? You may be saying something that I don't even agree with, but I need to hear what you say because you may be right and I may need to hear it in a way I didn't know it before. Listening means I'm reserving my opinions until I fully understand where you're coming from because I may not have all the data and details yet. Listening means I'm formulating other questions so I'll understand what's truly being said.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's Plan for Marriage, A Vow to Oneness, from the series Family Fortified, showing you what Genesis 2 reveals about the foundation of unity and purpose in marriage as a reflection of His glory. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
Listening means I'm formulating other questions so I'll understand what's truly being said. While you're talking, I'm thinking about what other questions do I need to ask so I'll truly understand what's going on. Listening is I'm considering what is being shared could help shape the way I need to understand things. And when you're being listened to, here's how you'll feel. You'll feel invited to freely share everything you want to say, knowing that you're appreciated and valued. And you know what that's like intuitively when somebody's actually listening to you and you're sharing your story and like, let me ask you about that. And how long have you felt that way? And how long has it been going on? And hey, was it something I said that caused that? Or tell me a little bit more about this. And what could be done differently in the future so that you don't feel this? Do you know the difference between listening and hearing? If not, go to the DMV sometime. That's hearing. Right? You understand what I'm saying? You know this. And in a marriage, it's really easy to hear and not to listen. And it's our natural tendency to hear and not listen. That's why when you're meeting somebody for the first time and you ask them their name and 5 seconds later, you forgot it. Because you heard it, but you're not listening and you're not caring enough about them and you're too busy wanting to tell them what your name is. And then you tell them your name and it's like, I can't even remember what their name is. Why? Because listening is a skill. And listening demonstrates I value the person that's doing the talking. And no matter where you are on the scale, you can grow as a listener. Some of you are more naturally gifted to be a listener. It's how God created you. It's what He's done in your heart since you've been saved. And you naturally listen. Some of us, pastors, are better at making statements sometimes than we are at listening. And it takes extra grace to grow in that area. But to have a thriving marriage and to have thriving oneness, you need to be able to listen. I mean, hear what the book of Philippians says in chapter 2, where it's talking about the humility of Jesus. And by the way, all the one another's in the Bible apply to marriage as well as anything else. Listen to what he says in Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. That's listening. I'm hearing what you say because I value what you say and I regard you as more important than me. So I really need to hear what it is that you're going to say. Here's a pro tip for you. Ask more genuine questions and continue to learn and be fascinated by your spouse. People, we're dynamic. Your spouse is dynamic. They're not the same person that you married 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago. Continue to ask questions. Continue to learn. Be fascinated about who they are. Be engaged by how God's growing them. Understand their preferences, their likes, their dislikes. I mean, be enthralled, be engaged, ask questions. Know them better than you know anybody else. That's how you show value and honor. And no matter how good of a listener you think you are, there's always room for growth. There's always room to learn more. It's fun for me in my marriage when I learn something about my wife and I'm like, why didn't you ever tell me that? She's like, I didn't even think about it. I'm like, that's so cool. I mean, you learn things that you didn't know, that you thought you knew. Or they think differently now, or they share differently now, or they feel differently than what they felt before. Do you know what's going on? And the only way you can do that is by asking genuine questions. And if I'm a listener, I'm asking because I really care about what you're going to say. If I'm just hearing, I'm just going through the motions because we're having a conversation. And if you've ever been in a relationship, in your marriage, where you feel like you're not listening to me, you're not truly hearing my heart, you don't understand, we have room and opportunity every single day in our marriages, and you will, if you choose to get married, to listen better, to understand more, to value more. When you're listened to, you feel valued. When you're not listened to, you feel put off. If you want your relationship to thrive, listen more. Listen more. Appreciate it more when somebody tells you something, even if you don't want to hear what they have to say. When your spouse tells you something, I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to know that, but I'm glad that I know that because it's valuable because that's how they truly feel. Listen to one another, and that's how you value one another. Let me give you a second point. In your marriage, you'll also have a regular opportunity for oneness when you show honor. When you show honor. Honor is when you preference one another. Honor is when you preference one another. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, it says this, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another with honor. It means I'm going to preference you. I'm going to preference your likes, your dislikes. I'm going to prefer you. I'm going to defer to you a lot. If you always have to be right, it's going to be very difficult in your marriage. You have to show honor. You have to appreciate how the other person thinks, how the other person feels, how the other person's growing, what the other person is doing, and how to preference their opinions, how to put that forward. I know that's valuable to you, and I want to see that happen for you. Preference one another. I mean, the Bible says even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You preference other people when you serve them. And it's so important in a marriage because if you don't show honor, it can hinder your relationship with the Lord because now that you're one, it works out differently as you pray. I mean, think about this. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, it says this, you husbands in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker since she is a woman and show honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Why? So that your prayers will not be hindered. If you're not showing honor to your spouse, God's not going to listen to your prayers. It's powerful, isn't it? You have to show honor to your spouse. And women, don't get all upset about that. She's the weaker vessel because she's a woman. Can I tell you what that means? I mean, imagine today if I was holding one of those 7-Eleven 62-ounce thermoses that are made out of plastic and rubber. And in the other hand, I was holding a crystal chalice. Both of them are vessels. One's weaker than the other. The chalice is weaker, but you know what that means? It's more valuable. You have to hold on to it different. You have to approach it different, handle it different. Women, you're like that chalice. Men, we're like the thermos. You can drop us, kick us. It's like, no big deal. We're good. Women, you can't talk to a woman that way. Men and women talk differently. We learn to talk differently. From the time we're young, we talk differently. Men, we're very direct in what we say, and we don't really offend each other. Like guys talk like this to guys, you know? Like, bro, you're kind of fat. What have you been doing? Have you been eating a lot of chips? Or that was one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. Or when you did that was just dumb. And guys will say, yeah, it kind of was. Yeah, I've been eating too much. I need to work out. I've never seen women talk to each other that way. Never seen somebody enter through the worship center and be like, woman, man, you are fat. Y'all don't talk that way to each other. Right? Men and women, we talk different. We communicate different. We think different. It's why God created us. So we have to show honor to each other. And there's all sorts of different ways to show honor. Honor means to bless with our words, to esteem highly. In Proverbs 31, you see the children rise up and bless their mother. They call her blessed, and the husband starts chiming in like, no. There's many women out there, but you outshine them all. I'm blessing. You can bless your spouse with your words. Don't get in little groups where you do husband bashing and wife bashing. Never do that. You're going to bless with your words. You're going to bless with your speech. You're going to bless with your time. One of the reasons that I bring my wife on the platform after every service when she's not homesick like she is today is because I'm showing honor to her. Because what you guys don't know that I know is I wouldn't stand here if she wasn't the woman that she is. If there's any good thing that you hear from the Lord on a Sunday, it's because I'm married to a woman that preferences me, that allows me to do what God's called me to do. She's great. Amen. And she needs to be shown honor. So we bless our wives with our words. We bless our wives with our actions. We bless our husbands with our words. We bless our husbands with our actions. And as it says, You know, a bell is not a bell until you ring it, and a song is not a song until you sing it. Well, a blessing is not a blessing until you speak it. Well, my spouse knows I love him. Have you told him? When's the last time you told him that? When's the last time that you told him why you believe that? I mean, you're showing honor. It's esteeming. It's praising. Do it through speech. Do it through your actions. And here's a pro tip for you. Love and bless your spouse for who they are rather than gripe about what they are not. Do you hear what I said? Love and bless your spouse for who they are rather than gripe about what they are not. When you're dating, the enemy blinds you and only lets you see all the good about the person that you're marrying. And there is a lot of good about the person you're marrying. But you don't see any of the other stuff, and you don't know any of the other stuff yet because you're not married yet. And that's why every engaged couple is like, you don't get it. We are truly in love. And out of the billions of people that lived on the planet, we're the only two that have ever gotten it right. Like, we love it. You don't even know how much we love it. We're awesome together, right? Because you're two individuals and saying, he's like, okay, go for it. And then you get married, and you know what he does? He lets you have amnesia about the things that you loved, about why you got married, and start thinking about all the things that your spouse doesn't have. And your spouse has a lot of things that are valuable, and your spouse has some things they'll never have. So esteem them for what they do have and quit looking around for what they don't and quit comparing your spouse to somebody else that needs to have that. I know the things that I'm good at. I know the things I'm not good at. When we got married, we had a lot of pictures from our wedding. We're hanging them in our house. And I told my wife, I'm like, there's no way I'm hanging those pictures. There'll be three times as many holes as there are pictures on our wall. I said, call your dad. So she called her father, and she said, I heard her on the phone. She said, Dad, can you come over and hang those pictures? And I could hear his voice. He said, now, Kim, you're married now, and Jeff is your man. You should ask him to do that. And she's like, he's the one that told me to call you. I'll never hang pictures. I'm not good at hanging pictures. I'm never going to be good at hanging pictures. She had a father that did everything and could build things and lived on a farm and could put engines back together. My brother the other day asked me, because he was having some trouble with his laundry machine. He was making a joke when I was over at his house, and the whole thing was taken apart. He's like, Jeff, you want to help me with this drum? I said, sure, I'll help you. It'll take me about 30 seconds. And I got on. It was Lowe's.com, and I held up. You want $600, $1,000, $1,500? All you do is hit the button, bro. They'll come right out, because that's how I fix things. What happens is you get married, and you get married because you like certain things, but then you don't like those certain things after you get married. I loved my wife when we were dating because she's the most spontaneous, fun person I'd ever been around. She can live in the moment better than anybody. I love that. That's why I married her until we got married, because then it was time to grow up and be on time. And I would tell her on Sunday morning, like, hey, we're leaving. She'd say, I'm almost ready. Almost ready meant give me about another 20 minutes. Almost ready to me means we're sitting in the car. And I don't know how many times we drove to church, and I'd be mad before we even got there because we're going to be late, and I hate that. And I remember one time I was at a funeral, I was officiating, and her mom's best friend had died, and there were about 300 people in this small town, and they were at this school and this big gym, and they had tables and food and everything, and I was there, and I greeted everybody very quickly, and we talked and all this stuff, and then everybody started dwindling, and I was telling Kim, hey, let's go, and she was like, okay, just a minute, and let's go, just a minute. At the end of the day, it was her dad standing next to me by a wall, and it was her mom and her and one other lady, and we were the only five people left. And I don't play poker very well, and I'm sure my face looked like, what the heck is going on here? And her dad just looked down at me with some great wisdom and said, don't worry, you'll get used to it. And I was so mad, I used to pray about that stuff, and you know what the Lord showed me? He took me to stories in the Bible where he would go to a place, and Jesus, who had the most impressive ministry of anybody who's ever lived, and then he had time to stay there for 3 or 4 hours or stay a couple extra days or spend time with people. And God began to show me, your wife's so much more relational than you, and I value that more than I value your time. Can you just appreciate her for who she is?
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God's Plan for Marriage, A Vow to Oneness, from the series Family Fortified, showing you what Genesis 2 reveals about the foundation of unity and purpose in marriage as a reflection of His glory. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.